From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Psalm 138. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship Him. The subject is especially appropriate in this day of man-centered worship. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel! Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? He who affirms that Christianity makes men miserable is himself an utter stranger to it. It were strange indeed if it made us wretched, for see to what a position it exalts us. It makes us sons of God. Suppose you that God will give all the happiness to his enemies and reserve all the mourning for his own family? Shall his foes have mirth and joy, and shall his home-born children inherit sorrow and wretchedness? Shall the sinner who has no part in Christ call himself rich in happiness, and shall we go mourning as if we were penniless beggars? No, we will rejoice in the Lord always, and glory in our inheritance. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The rod of chastisement must rest upon us in our measure, but it worketh for us the comfortable fruits of righteousness. And therefore, by the aid of the divine Comforter, we, the people saved of the Lord, will joy in the God of our salvation. We are married unto Christ, and shall our great bridegroom permit his spouse to linger in constant grief? Our hearts are knit unto him. We are his members, and though for a while we may suffer as our head once suffered, yet we are even now blessed with heavenly blessings in him. We have the earnest of our inheritance in the comforts of the Spirit, which are neither few nor small. Heritors of joy forever, we have foretastes of our portion. There are streaks of the light of joy to herald our eternal sunrising. Our riches are beyond the sea. Our city with firm foundations lies on the other side of the river. Gleams of glory from the spirit world cheer our hearts and urge us onward. Truly is it said of us, Happy art thou, O Israel! Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord?
Thank you.
Are you looking for guidance and help in your study of the Bible? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns returns to Psalm 138 and verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. In the first part of the message, Dr. Cairns dwelt upon the majesty of God, as expressed in the opening words of the text, though the Lord be high. Then the psalmist sets forth one of the most comforting of truths, that this majestic and holy God has respect unto the lowly, that the Lord loves those who are humble of heart toward him. The final phrase of the verse is ominous in its implications for those who stubbornly refuse God's way of salvation. The proud he knoweth afar off. The fate of the unrepentant is to be excluded from the presence of the Lord for all eternity. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
You remember those beautiful words of Isaiah 57 and 15? Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The Lord regards the humble. I wonder this morning, Have you ever been brought to see the greatness of God so much that you look upon yourself as a worm? Fear not thou, worm, Jacob. Have you ever seen the glory of God's greatness in such a way as to make you feel the rottenness of your own sin, the corruption of your own nature? Have you ever seen the glory of God and the holiness and the justice of God that has made you confess, oh God, if you were to damn this guilty soul to the deepest hell, from hell's depths, I would have to cry, thou art righteous. Have you ever been brought to the place where, divested of every hope of self-justification, robbed of every hope of ever contributing anything to the saving of your soul, you've been cast entirely upon the free grace of God in Jesus Christ to cry to Him for sovereign mercy, to purge you from your sin and justify you freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus? Have you ever been brought to the place where you simply have to say, Lord, I take you at your word. I take you on your terms. Thou art God. Thou art my God. In thee do I trust. I don't have all the answers. I can't see the way ahead. I feel weakness and wickedness working within my flesh. And yet I cast myself entirely and absolutely upon the Lord. Has God ever brought you there? For I tell you, that's the place where the Lord regards you. That's the place where He keeps His eye upon you. When you seem most vulnerable in human terms, when you seem weakest according to the esteem of men, that's when the Lord's eye is upon you, and He regards you not only with compassion and pity, which He does, but He regards you with His protection. His eye is upon you that no ill shall overtake you. Understand this, even in the afflicting providences of God. Understand this. Ultimately, nothing bad can ever happen to a Christian. Now that seems a strange thing to say. Some Christians in the floods in the southern states have lost everything they possess. Some have gone hungry. Some have lost loved ones. They appear to be very bad things. Stop and think. The worst thing that can happen to a Christian in this world is to go straight to heaven. I don't understand what God is doing in your life, many times even in my own life. I've got to wait until He works it out. But I do know this, that all things are working together. There's not a chaos out there. All things are working together. And all things are working together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Bless God today. He regards the humble. But not only now. He will do this. I said the verb is in the future. So this is the Lord's ongoing way of dealing with things. You're going to come to die, and so am I. But the Lord says, I'll regard you. I'll keep my eye upon you. I'll keep you in my watch care. I'll keep you in my protection. I was just going through the 23rd Psalm this morning. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I was interested that in the two verses prior to that, there's an emphasis on divine leading. He leadeth me in green pastures. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. That's life. And now, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In other words, the Lord still is leading his people, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And then there is the great eternity to come. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Eternity. Eternity. Where will you be in God's eternity? That's the question that we must face. The Lord says, I will keep my eye upon the humble, upon that poor sinner brought to conviction and confession and calling upon Christ. I'll keep my eye upon him. Thank God there'll be no Christian lose his way as he travels to the gates of glory. For the eye of the Lord says, I will guide thee. I will guide thee with mine eye. The Lord regards the humble. But then the text ends on a very somber note as it deals with the measureless gulf between the Lord and the proud. He knoweth the proud afar off. He knows the proud from a distance. If the humble here is the man who has been brought to the conviction of sin, then the proud is the high and the haughty one who refuses to see himself as a fallen, base, and needy sinner. He's the haughty one who's so full of his self-esteem that he has confidence in his own merit before God. He is too proud to take the sinner's place, but he rejects the gospel of God's grace and of Christ's blood atonement, despises those who live by the gospel that they have received by faith. And we read that the Lord rejects all such. Now, I want you to understand this. He knows them and he sees them, even when they think he doesn't. In Psalm 10, verse 11, we read of this haughty one that he hath said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. How many of you, I wonder, want you to take stock of your life this morning? How many of you in reality have been living your life that way? God will never see this. So often said, God has bigger and better things to look after than to worry about what I'm doing. That's the word of the proud. But the Lord still sees them and he still knows them, even when they think he doesn't. He takes note of them and he looks upon them at a distance. With scorn and with contempt. He scorneth the scorner. It's a very strong statement. It's not just that he's grieved at the scorning of the scorner. He scorneth the scorner. As Proverbs chapter 1 tells us, using wisdom as in many ways a synonym for Christ. He will laugh at their calamity, mock when their fear cometh. Those are strong words, in many ways terrible words, words calculated to awaken the haughtiest heart out of its proud and arrogant hatred of God's grace. God scorneth the scorner. He opposes himself to them, and sooner or later, he will abase the haughty, and finally, will banish him to outer darkness. And if ever you want to understand the full and final meaning of the statement, the proud he knows from a distance, just consider the phrase, outer darkness. Darkness eternally absolutely and irreversibly alienated from God. The proud in hell, God knows them. God judges them. It is God who damns them. And he knows them eternally from a distance. As I said at the beginning, the Holy Spirit makes a whole lot of the truth of this text throughout the Scripture. And I hope that you'll make a whole lot of it too. I hope that you'll heed it well. You see, we're dealing with the everlasting God, the Lord. Nothing tells your state, whether you're humble or whether you're haughty, as clearly as your attitude to God and to his dear Son. And nothing is so fraught with eternal consequences. When Pilate said, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" his words carried an awful lot more meaning than he could ever have imagined. Pilate was thinking in terms of an instantaneous decision as to the immediate fate of two prisoners before him. He was not thinking of his relationship eternally to the Savior of the world. But his words raised that question: what shall I do with Jesus? And eternal consequences hang upon the attitude of the soul to Christ. Bring it right down to the most simple statements possible. Every man, woman, and boy and girl here is either humbled under the mighty hand of God to feel his sin, cry out for mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Or is haughty. What need have I of Christ? What hurry have I to get to Christ? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. For listen, though the Lord be high, he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he will always know from a distance.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.